Okay, here we go. Hopefully, yep. Okay, we are ready.
What do we have on the agenda today?
Well, today we're going to go back a little bit further in time to 1936 when you joined the Hitler Youth, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And again, I have a list of questions here that Marion and I brainstormed over. Excuse me. And today I just want to start with your parents. What did your parents think of you joining the Hitler Youth?
No, that was compulsory. Everyone had to join.
Oh, so joining the Hitler Youth was compulsory?
Absolutely.
What
there
did
was
your,
no way out.
What did your parents think of that?
My parents, I mean, they were occupied with their profession. They were not political at all. And in that time, we thought, you know, it was more of a sports organization. And really it was. It was an organization where you keep the young people occupied in hiking, in handicraft work, sports especially, swimming, winter time skiing. Now you had different groups. Some was, for instance, the one with the horses, Reiterhajat, you know. You got the training. When you look back, it was more or less was a pre-military training. And if you went with the riding group, you learned riding. So when you are drafted in the military, you don't even have to teach it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it was to know your country. Like, for instance, every year in our vacation, school vacation, we went on trips with the group together, you know, they stayed together, usually 15. Now, in Europe and in Germany especially, you have the youth hostels. You know, you pay 20, in that time, 25 cents for just the night to stay there. You have a bed, you have a clean room, you have a bathroom and everything. And the government provided a trip on the train. Like, I went one time to Schleswig-Holstein, I can show you the picture of it, to Schleswig-Holstein. And we went on a hiking trip to the northern part of Germany. The reason behind was to know your own country. So you started out with your region where you were born. And then when you're out of your province or state, in the next state. The second big trip we made in that time, Austria was already occupied by Germany. We went down to Austria. Now that was hiking.
Hiking?
Hiking. You, every day you hiked about 20 to 25 kilometers, that's about 15 miles. From one youth hostel to the next one, you stayed overnight there, and the next day you did another trip. So it wasn't that much political. You know, you as a young person, you don't see that. Because you are adventurous, and it gives you a good opportunity to know people and to know your own country. Especially it was emphasized in singing folk songs. I still know all the German folk songs.
That would be part of your heritage.
Yeah. So it was a good thing, I have to say that. And even today, people, I heard on German television, an elderly writer in Germany, he said, that was the best thing they ever did, keep the young people occupied. And on the other hand, in that time, they emphasized on training.
Training for what?
Training in professional training. So they tested us in school what our ability is. They don't do that here. So, for instance, I wanted to be a forester because I always liked the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
The guy would test with me and say, no, you have a technical ability, you go in a technical profession. I didn't know that. But he had found that out through the testing. And it's true, I had a technical ability.
Was that your till and die?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Because
you,
they guide you in that direction.
Okay. You brought up a point about your parents, and this is just the first question that you sparked in my mind. What were your parents' professions?
They were farmers.
Oh, but okay, so both your parents
we had a farm, it was in the family for 400 years.
Okay.
And we lost it to the Second World War.
Okay. All right. In the Hitler Youth, you said earlier that it was military training?
No, not directly. When you look back, you know, they specialized. For instance, there was different groups. Like some went with the horses, some went training on sail planes. Mm-hmm. In our area was one of the biggest sail plane schools that was existing in Germany. A friend of mine, he went with the sail planes. So you had four categories. A, B, and C. C was the highest. Mm-hmm. And then you was allowed to fly cross-country with a sailplane and by yourself. And of course, these people then, when they was drafted because they looked at their training, they was drafted in the Air Force.
So basically, the Hitler Youth could be said to be a preparation for active service.
It could have been part of it, not all of it, but it's more or less, you know, to keep the young people. It's the same as crews with the Boy Scouts. I mean, it's on the same principle.
Okay.
And that is true for girls, too. The girls was in the same organization. My wife was in it. We had the same organization with the girls, BDM. Jung Mädel, when they was from until 14, he was Jung Mädel and then BDM, Bund Deutscher Mädchen. In with the boys, it was Jungvolk until 14, then you was Hitler Youth. So you automatically, when you went, like after 8 years school and you went in professional training, you was transferred to the next group.
Was there anybody who didn't want to go?
Not really, because young people, when they see what was done, you know, they was enthusiastic. And even my wife came out of a family, she absolutely opposed the Nazis, because her father was in the Social Democratic Party. But, I mean, she had fight with her mother, because she wanted to be in it.
All right, if you didn't like the activities you're doing, let's just say, theoretically, you were in horses, but you didn't like
no,
horses.
No, I wasn't in horses.
No,
I
mean, I'm saying theoretically.
Yeah.
Okay, if you were in horses and you didn't like them, could you change?
You could change.
You could?
Absolutely could.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like a pretty good organization there.
It was a good organization. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. What did your parents think of Hitler? I mean, I know you said that they weren't into the politics, but Hitler was everywhere.
You see, for the farmers, for instance, Hitler was a good thing. Because under his scheme, law out, you couldn't sell the farm. Mm-hmm. The farm had to stay in the family. That was one thing. Another thing, before he came in, a lot of farms were totally in debt, like here in the United States. A lot of people lose their farms because they can make the payments. So he brought a law out that the farms start new again and all the debt was forgotten. And that put the whole thing on a sound basis. Our farm was not in debt, so we was not affected by it. But some farms in our village, I know, they was deeply in debt. Some for inefficiency and some bad luck, you know, that can happen too. Mm-hmm. And he straightened that out.
So, to the farmers, Hitler was sort of like a savior.
He was quite a savior.
Okay, wow. Did he have any other farm programs that affected you directly, or was that strictly for your parents?
That was strictly for the parents. Okay. You know, the farms mostly, our farms in Germany mostly are self-sufficient, because you don't only have one crop like here. You have all kind of crops. The only thing I can remember what we bought was salt, not even sugar because we had honey. Salt, sometimes fish, and tropical fruit, bananas.
Oranges.
Okay. Because apple and everything, we grow ourselves.
What did you think of Hitler?
In the beginning you thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandfather, well, he started the military. That was 1936, where the draft came.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, my grandfather was absolutely against the military too. He said that's the downfall of Germany, because He had lost one son in the Roosevelt War.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted as an old man. They called him, you know, they had to watch bridges and railroads and stuff like that. And his brother lost three sons. And he said, when the military is in power again, they not only want to train the people, they want to see them in action too, because they want glory. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's the wrong thing. So he started the military, he was absolute, then he was absolute against him. That was my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he always told us boys, we were three, you never volunteer. And he said, when you are drafted, you can't do anything, because if you don't go, they shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
The law in Germany was very strict. Same in this deserter. Deserter never had a chance. I know the United States executed one deserter in France in the Second World War, but that's the only one. Slovak was. You know. I read his story.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it could have been shell shock too.
Shell shock?
Yeah, the man ran away from the front line mm-hmm. and never went back to the unit. I have seen people in shell shock. They are unpredictable. That's my wife. That's Miriam. And that's Mr. Montgomery. Have a seat, Inke. They ask about, you know, the Hitlerjugend.
All right. What did your friends think of Hitler?
Well, we were all enthusiastic about the Hitlerjugend. I mean, about the Jungvolk, because we were always active. So
what he said about Hitler.
Friends. Yeah, we were all in the same boat. I mean.
Yeah, but I mean about Hitler. That's not was of the same as our organization.
Oh. We never talked about that. Tell you something.
All right. Well, you've answered that question and that question. I was going to ask you about what you learned in the Hitler Youth and your activities, but you answered it. All right. What made the Hitler Youth different from, say, like the Boy Scouts?
I don't think there's a difference.
The principle was built
on the boat.
After the Boy Scouts.
In Germany, before Hitler came,
we had
Boy Scouts. We had different organizations, different parties at different organizations. Like the party of the Stahlhelm, that was a right party, a right group. They had the Scharnhorst. That's why I was in first.
And the Scharnhorst?
Yeah. That was the youth party, the youth group for the Stahlhelm. When Hitler then came, and all these groups was forbidden, and everything was put in the Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever go to any of the rallies?
No.
You didn't? So you never saw Hitler?
No.
I saw him. I lived in a big city, my husband did.
Ah.
So, I saw him once. In Breslau. I mean, you know, like when you have masses together,
mm-hmm.
It's like hypnosis.
Did he really hold a power over people?
Yes, he had. Somehow he did. Somehow he could enthuse people. I can say that I was particularly enthused about seeing him. But you know, the surrounding, you know, where. I don't know if you understand, when you see troops marching, that's something very, I don't know, something very, no, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel, it feels like power somehow, you know, not necessarily a bad power,
mm-hmm.
but it feels, you know, it's strength and, yeah, I saw how that one time, I only saw one time. You know, the reaction was, we had to be there, we were ordered to be there, but there were lots of people, I'm sure, that came because they wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, for whatever reason, they might have wanted to see him, but as I said, it's like when masses get. Like football games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People yell, you might not want to yell, but you yell anyway, you know.
Yeah, no, that does happen sometimes. Okay. Mr. Muller, when you were drafted in 1942, did you have any concrete plans that were interrupted?
Oh, yeah.
By you being
I was just finished my training as a volunteer with Huffman
Engineering.
As a volunteer to become an engineer after my profession was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had, in Germany, you had first your journey papers before you go in this kind of engineering where I was going in. And then you had to make 1 year practicant volunteer.
Yes.
You had to go in the machine building to every phase, from the foundry to the finish place. And I just was finished and had everything ready for the engineering school in Görlitz, and I was drafted. And that was the end of my
okay,
dream.
So being drafted pretty much ended any technical
yeah.
part of your
development.
Well,
and it's a higher education.
Okay.